The button has been pressed.
Oh, shit. As I completely undo any future employers. Hello, future employers! I apologize for my language on the internet.
Oh, fuck.
I'll try not to say anything too terrible, as they immediately like, no, thank you. I need to find myself a company that does not do the internet.
It's fine. Just don't tweet about it, and you're set.
Luckily, I abandoned my Twitter. I gotta go bug a one Marty Day on how the hell to just delete everything but maybe squat on the name.
Yeah.
Though I know the internet lives forever, I'd like to try and delete some actual stuff, so that's why. I don't actually think I said anything terrible. I just don't even want to be part of it anymore.
That's a good way to win.
Yeah,
the best way to win is not to play.
Yeah, like the conversation that we had a couple months back about like me deleting Twitter, I've been steadfast in that. Like, yeah. The only time I ever see Twitter is when someone posts a link either in Slack or in Facebook to follow through to something. Like, that band thing that you posted up that got shared on Facebook, I followed that.
Yeah.
But...
because it's amazing.
Yeah, hell yeah.
He could be talking about, like, changing a tire. I don't care. It's a Christmas jam.
Yeah. Festive as all get out.
All right, Brandon Chalmers. What have you been geeking on besides an incredible show on Saturday evening?
So a thing that I've been geeking on is a bit of a time sink that could end up costing you money if you wanted to. It doesn't necessarily have to. It is, for the first time, I'm going to suggest an iPhone game.
Ooh.
That may hit some good areas, may not. It is called Sega Heroes.
Sega Heroes?
Sega Heroes. So they did a turn-based combat game based on one of those match 3 style, like, gem sort of setup.
Uh-huh.
So the idea is you select your heroes based on previous Sega games, such as the Sonic Universe or Streets of Rage or Golden Axe.
Ooh, Golden Axe,
just
yeah.
Added Phase Star, and then... there looks like they're slowly adding Crazy Taxi characters into it as well. Right.
Are they going to have Power Stone? I guess that's technically Capcom.
I don't know. I don't know how far they're expanding it. Like, I have no idea what Sega actually owns the rights to at this point. Mm. I think I'm learning it this way. But essentially, like, it is a daily-style puzzle game. So... the good and bad of it is one of those games that you could spend a ton of money on like, you know, buying gems or coins or whatever the hell it is. Or you can just grind it out, which is what I've been doing. But there are multiple modes. There are multiple characters. Right now I've got quite a bit of characters here. You can see quite a few of them.
Oh my God, they have Jet Set Radio stuff.
Jet Set Radio, yes, I did forget about that well. God. So like... you can see a lot of the characters. There's a campaign mode. There is a survival mode. There's an arena mode where you compete with other players online on their servers. It is not real time or anything else like that. So right. I think what it does is it's like, I don't know. I think it just basically acts for you, essentially. Okay. What it is. Like, it takes your best characters and then puts them in an imaginary match, and essentially you become ranked. So like right now I am 761 in the world right now.
Okay.
Which, I don't know how many people are actually playing. I think being in the top 1,000 is like, yeah, okay, all right, cool.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, so I've been having a lot of fun with that. It is a serious time sink as they... well, because there's a campaign mode, there's a regular mode, there's a survival mode, there's an arena mode. There's also daily tasks that you can do to get items and unlock different characters and so on and so forth. And then you can... you know, get tokens to upgrade characters. So it is a constant sort of like feed the beast kind of.
It's a mobile game.
it is very much a mobile game. But at the same time, like, I've had a lot of fun with it because there are characters I recognize. Super Monkey Ball is also in this as well.
Oh, Joe. Oh, my God.
Yeah, so it is free to download. It has been a hell of a lot of fun to kind of play and go through. It is not the sort of thing where you need to be playing with anybody else, which is the thing that I really like. Like, I don't have to find a bunch of friends and then go do – and, like, I can basically be like, well, I've got the panic poos, and it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm just going to grind out some levels. Or, like –
You don't want to do a Sega Heroes raid or something.
No, I don't have to do a puzzle quest style raid. The only thing that I really do like about it is reminiscent of Super Puzzle Fighter.
Yes, that's a great game.
Which I absolutely love. And the turn-based combat system is actually really good.
That's cool.
And it grows with you. So as you start, you get a couple preset characters, or you get like almost like equivalent to, you know, when Professor Oak hands you, like, one of three Pokemon, you're like, well, you can pick these people. They're level one. Here you go. Go out into the world.
Yeah.
And, like, now it's gotten to the point where, you know, I've got 21 of the 33 available characters, varying levels of capability, like, you know, different star levels. I've been playing for a couple weeks. It has been a rather fun background time kill game. I'm sitting in line somewhere, I'm just kind of bullshitting, watching TV, and I just don't want to snack or work or whatever it is, and it's just like one of those time sink, like, I can pick it up, I can put it down whenever I want.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, that's been a hell of a lot of fun. So
I used to be way into Infinity Blade.
Okay.
It was like a melee combat game for iPhone.
Okay.
But they had like three versions of it. Like, Infinity Blade, the first one was a proof of concept to see if they could get the Unreal Engine to work on an iPhone.
Okay.
And then the second one, they upped the graphics. And then the third one was like, they had story and like,
okay,
writing, right, and stuff. But you had different types of combat. So, like, the little swords, you know, you were fast, but you didn't hit very hard. There was like a regular sword, and then, right, there was the giant axes, like
claymore style. Yeah.
And then you could dodge and you could block.
Okay.
And you had a stamina meter and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, that makes sense.
But it was very grindy, and the third version had a thing where it was like, there was a dragon that you had to fight. And it had, like, a couple bajillion hit points. And the idea is that everybody around the world playing the game could fight it, and it would collect the damage that the world collectively did on the thing.
Oh, okay. That's kind of cool.
So that was pretty interesting. And then the company folded, but... I think they did beat the dragon. But it sounds like the mobile setup where it's like an easy grind to just,
yes,
just, it's knock super it easy out. To play.
It is a one thumb kind of game that is, you know, you can literally grind it out. It's a fun, like, background sort of thing. So if you find yourself, you know, in the bathroom, in line, killing time, don't want to deal with family stuff as you head into the holidays, and you're like, boy, I'd really like to do this. And don't get me wrong, this is one of those games where, like, you can play until you run out of gems, or you can pay to get more gems and continue to fucking grind. So, that's like, awesome. If you want to dig into it, and to their credit, I will give them this much. They give away 8 chests worth of stuff a day, plus a bunch of other stuff, plus if you've beaten other levels, you can loot them for other things. So the loot procedures has actually been really good. And they've also been doing sales. So, like, they're doing, for the holidays, they're doing, like, 4 times the gems for a single price.
That's awesome.
So, like, they've been, and, you know, and they've got basically, like, there's a mega upgrade deal. So there's, like, little icons that you can collect to then upgrade the different colored heroes, because there's 4 different heroes that you take down based on the color of the actual gem.
Mm-hmm.
You have to collect things to then upgrade individual capabilities. You can buy for 3,000 gems a massive amount of stuff. So, like, I'm looking at it here. So, like, 70,000 coins, 400 of the red things, 400 of, like, all of this for that one set price. So, essentially, you could just grind the fuck out of everything and upgrade a ton of stuff.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
So, like, it's one of those things where, like, if I got it, like, honestly, if somebody gave me an iTunes gift card because I pay for Apple Music, I'd probably throw every dollar at it at this fucking dumbass game, because I know I'm going to end up playing it while I'm really bored. And it'll probably be something that I replace in a couple months whenever the new thing comes along.
Yeah.
But the fact that I haven't really bothered to play any other game on my phone recently is a good sign.
Yeah. I always wanted that type of grind feature, and I always bring everything back to Destiny whenever we talk about gaming. But like, the Destiny app is good for it, it's better now, but like what I always wanted in year one was the ability to just farm materials, like farm spin metal or farm whatever the hell else, because like farming it in game is boring as hell. Like, spending an hour farming spin metal or whatever planetary materials, it was terrible. I would have done that on the phone. I would have done that on my commute to work. I would have done that trying to take a shit, going to sleep, you know, sitting at a con, not making any money. I would be farming spin metal all
day. Not making any money because you're farming spin metal and not making eye contact.
Yeah, I'm looking at my phone and I'm farming spin metal instead of trying to make sales. Like, I don't play enough games, so I don't know if there are mobile integrations like that for like a platform game or like a console game or for a PC game, but like farming dumb shit on the phone that would help your character in game.
Yes. Yeah, if I could end up having a way to do this but in game or something like that. Yeah, I'm not arguing with you at all. I think it'd be an interesting way to do that, of like play Destiny while you're not playing Destiny. But I don't know.
Or like unlock lore things, or you know, I don't know, just menial tasks that are boring.
The problem I think it comes down to is, why do that for no financial gain, which means eventually it's just going to become a pay per item sort of thing.
Yeah, cash shop. Yeah,
right. And eventually I will stop bothering with video games that way. Like, I'll just kind of grow up with video games. I know it. Like the nickel and diming thing, eventually I'm just going to opt out.
So you never subscribed to World of Warcraft?
No. No, I'm a nerd, not that kind of nerd. I honestly, I don't like people that much. I don't like playing video games with people that much. I don't like nerds that much, especially. Playing online video games with a bunch of people who happen to be nerds is the special kind of hell that I just do not look forward to.
Like
Satan, if you hear me, when I get there eventually, sitting me in front of an old laggy PC playing World of Warcraft online with some sweaty nerds who I cannot tolerate, and one of them being one of their 12-year-old kids, is my special kind of hell. Jesus Christ. I can't even say the name of it, but that was one of my... I left Destiny for a month.
Oh,
Destiny
1.
Because I had a buddy of mine who had a friend who played, and they decided to start playing with their 12-year-old kid, and I ended up getting online, and every time I would hop on, and then they'd be on, and they'd be playing, and he'd be in there with them, and eventually, I had to, like, message my buddy, and I was like, hey, two options, either I'm playing by myself, or I'm gonna tell this kid to actually shut the fuck up, so... up to you. I don't give a fuck that he's 12. And, like, he literally was like, hey, bud, so we're going to take a break for a little while. And, like, literally he was like, he messaged me. He was like, set yourself to offline. And I responded back, fuck that. He can know I hate him.
Oh,
and it was
man.
Just like, no, I'm not doing it. Like, no. There are specific kids that I enjoy being around. There are specific people I enjoy being around.
Yeah.
Do not force me to be around your fucking 12-year-old. He's not precious. He's not funny. I don't care that he's learning about the world. The one thing he should learn about the world is I don't fucking like him.
The thing that makes me sad about, like, your resistance to Destiny is that we will never again repeat the moment when SRL was around and you were beating the shit out of a guy who makes a living playing video games. That was amazing to me.
It's that one sliver of capability that I have, which is why I have personally never paid to get into like the sim racing thing, because I know I'd lose myself in it. I can drive, and I can drive dumb things. I am like the equivalent of like a BA Baracus. If it's got a wheel or handles or something like that, give me like 30 seconds and I am gangbusters. I learned this the first time I drove stick shift, first time I drove a car, first time I drove a Bobcat, first time I drove a boat. Like, anything, if it's got a motor, I am game, and I will be doing something dumb with it in no time. Like, literally, my favorite moments, I was working doing retail. I had a buddy of mine. He was working for a construction company. We were doing demolition of a house. It was just he and I. He had a big excavator. I had his Bobcat. And he was like, hey, there's a sunroom over there. Go ahead and take it down. And I was like, cool, how does it work? And he was like, turns, feet use the bucket. Make sure to hit the lap bar when you go down. It's like a roller coaster. Don't flip it. And I was like, good talk. And like literally ran over, hopped in like the dumb fat guy in every anime who drives a mech, who gets way too excited right out of the gate, where he's like, I was hunk for like a half second, where I was like, yeah, man, I totally got this. Let's go get ourselves a fucking sombrero. Like, I'm ready to go get tacos in this thing in a drive-thru. I hit the thing, gas it up. First thing I do, full throttle, both things forward, whole thing tips up in the air, and I had to like jerk it back, and it hits down the ground, and I hear him yell, idiot, put the bucket down, you'll kill yourself. I was like, good talk, buddy, good talk. And not 10 minutes later, I am literally duct taping a piece of cardboard to the top of the thing so the glass from the sunroom doesn't fall through, and I'm driving the Bobcat through a sunroom.
Nice.
Because I'm a moron. I could bump up to it and knock it over and let it all fall.
No.
I want the experience of saying, who here, raise your hand, has driven a Bobcat through a sunroom? Because I guarantee you, in most places, I'm the only guy with my hand raised.
That's perfect.
Yeah. It may be an incredibly slim distinction, Jamie, but I will come up with a list of things that I have done that no one else will be dumb enough to do or admit to doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good way to live.
My bank account doesn't agree, but you know, whatever. That was my bad. I should have waited. That was just mean. Anywho, so what are you geeking out about?
Hold on.
For those of you at home, I'm going to take a guess and say that Jamie Noguchi is grabbing his new bass guitar. That Jamie and I purchased at where?
Atomic Music. Atomic Music in Laurel, Maryland? Were we in Laurel? I think it was in Laurel.
It's really what it is. It's Satan's Asshole, Maryland. Yeah. It's the sketchiest part of, like, and please know, for those of you who grew up in Maryland, there are some sketchy areas. This is some sketchy sketch. Like, it's literally where I imagine Bon Jovi writes song lyrics about. I think we went to the place where he had a six-string hawk. I'm pretty sure this is where Tommy and Gina worked at that diner where they couldn't get everything right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's...
Yeah, and yeah. Like 50 years ago, John Mellencamp would have been, for the worst turn of phrase possibly in any song, sucking on a chili dog. Unfortunately, this place has been run down so much by poor education and poor business opportunities that the Tasty Freeze has been knocked down and put up by a used tire place.
Yeah, I remember passing that Tasty Freeze.
Like, how many used tire places do you need in one quarter mile stretch?
I don't know, man. And there were a lot of burned out warehouses, and just like it's been a while, and it hasn't gotten any better. Because I used to go to school at College Park, which is down the street from where we were, and we would drive through that area to get to the Olive Garden.
Okay, we should time out here real quick, kids. Yes, Jay Minoguchi did just say Olive Garden in a longing tone of his past. Because the cultural icon that he is, that takes me to go experience new food things, things that I don't even know what I ate. There are things on menus that I have no idea what it is. He's just like, no, let's go eat the thing. Speaks longingly about the meals that start with unlimited soup, salad, and breadsticks.
It's all you can eat, dude.
Dude, Jamie, what this says, like, this is after watching Ugly Delicious, what this tells me is I should really question your willingness to eat a quality dumpling, because if you're comfortable with the ravioli at an Olive Garden,
oh, yeah,
I should be worried about when you're like, no, that dumpling looks legit. And I genuinely could be eating, like, the Five Guys of dumplings and be like, this is really good. And meanwhile, someone across the world is like, you fucking schlob. Like, just, I am so, you dopey, pudgy, white bastard. You are eating just the slum of slum dumplings.
I mean, I don't discriminate food. Like, I like eating good food, but you can find good food in shitty places.
No, I understand that. We're not talking about it being, like, a sketchy, hole-in-the-wall little place that, like, was really big in the 70s and 80s and then lost its luster and hasn't had the money to buy new booths. We're talking about Olive Garden.
So sometimes you need all the breadsticks.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue that. The breadsticks are delicious in Olive Garden.
Yeah. So anyway, this place, Atomic Music, it's in an old Circuit City.
Or, yes.
Yeah,
Circuit one City. One half of an old Circuit City.
Yeah, one half of an old Circuit City. The other half is like
a liquor store. A gigantic-ass liquor store.
Yeah, it was huge. But they've... So when I started going to this place, it was right down the street from College Park in a little shotgun shack. Like, the size of maybe twice your kitchen.
Okay. Gotcha.
And it had the same layout, which is okay. Basically everything out.
Yeah, everything is everywhere. They don't play around with trying to make nice displays. Everything is made of basically like 2x4s and plywood.
Yeah.
And it is just basically like, look, we got used gear. We're going to sell it and make it move as fast as we can because you're not here for the ambiance. This isn't Guitar Center.
Yeah.
Like, just real straightforward.
And they grew up from there to a place next to Seed Depot, which is the used CD place on Route 1, which was next to where Mandalay grew up out of. I don't think I've taken you to Mandalay, which makes me a bad friend, but I should take you to Mandalay sometime.
Okay, it sounds like we have another field trip to take.
So a slightly bigger place.
Okay.
Similar layout, you know, just everything everywhere.
Yeah, basically what it looks like is like, remember your room, and I'm talking to everyone in the world.
Yeah.
Remember your bedroom when you were 19? Like, when you had just graduated, you weren't 100% sure what you were doing, but like, there's a lot of stuff all over the place, and you're trying to really find yourself, so you've got like, keyboards here, and like, computer equipment over there, and you may have dabbled in whatever the like soldering thing or whatever it is. Maybe you had a woodworking thing, or maybe you just tried interpretive dance, and like you've basically got what looks like some sort of weird like Spencer Gifts accoutrement all over the place.
Yeah,
that's essentially what this place is.
Yeah,
only it's full of small treasure. Like, it's weird. There's one half total trash, and I feel bad saying this, but like, half of the stuff that I saw, like, in the keyboard room was broken.
Oh,
just flat out broken.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Still had price tags on it, flat out broken. And, like, I can't figure out if it's just people are playing it and testing it and then break it and then don't say anything. And these guys have, like, how they value their inventory I could not tell you.
Mm-mm.
Like, yeah. It has to be you hired the same people back in 1994. Those people are still working there, and it's the only reason you know where everything is. Like, if one of those people dies, you're screwed. Like, if the one dude who helped us died, all of your, I don't know, your symbols are just, they're gone. They're just in the wind.
Yeah, yeah. You would have to hire an archaeologist to kind of, like, sift through layers of cabinet speakers. And like,
right, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, what happened to Teddy? Oh, heart attack. So where are you at right now? We lost our amp section. It's like, they're there. Good luck.
Yeah, and
take
and,
a power cable with you.
And since they've moved into the bigger space, it's as crazy as it looked to you when you walked in there. To me, because I'd been from their other location, it looked somewhat organized. Like the guitars were on like in a place. The guitar the amps were in a place that was different from where the guitars were.
I should be clear, Jamie. It was organized. Mm-hmm. Genuinely, it was organized. It's just, it's a used place. So, like,
yeah.
I grew up shopping for fun at dirt malls, at flea markets. So, the idea of things being used, set up on plywood, like, kind of haphazard, my brain is fine with that. It was, in all fairness to it, relatively organized and relatively clean.
Oh, yeah.
Like, for all things considered, I wouldn't call the place grody. None of the guitars were like collecting dust or anything else like that. No, so, like,
most of them were in tune too.
I couldn't tell you like if someone goes around and just spot cleans stuff or whatever it is, or they just walk through the place with a leaf blower, like whatever they're doing. Right. Yeah. Like whatever they're doing, it's working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They've been there for a long time.
But yeah, I would highly suggest that if you are in the market for an instrument, if you're in the market for an instrument for a younger person in your life and you go to Guitar Center and you're like, yeah, I don't know if I want to buy them something new, and the used stuff is actually a little more expensive than the new stuff, go to this place.
Yeah, go to Atomic.
You will gladly, like, and here's my suggestion to you as from like walking in there one time. Walk up to one of the dudes there. Doesn't matter, they're going to be totally gentle with you. Tell them exactly what's going on. I have a 12-year-old nephew who really wants to play guitar. Here's my budget. Be reasonable with them. I'd like to pick them up a guitar case and maybe an amp if we can. And they're going to start asking you questions. Mm-hmm. What kind of music is he into? Mm-hmm. What do you think his capability level are? You know, is there any wiggle room in your budget? And then just work with them. They're going to probably find you what you're looking for within, I'd argue, $30 of your budget.
Yeah, and it'll be workable. You can take it home. Yeah. You can record with it. Like I picked this up. We were initially there for Brandon because Brandon has been mulling over the purchase of a bass guitar. And yeah. if you are in the mood to buy an instrument and you are near me, please take me with you because I will help you find that instrument.
Buy something for yourself.
Well, no, I will encourage you.
Yes.
I will encourage you to buy that instrument, and should sanity overtake you and you walk away saying, no, I'd rather not, then I may end up picking up an instrument.
Yeah, I could literally hear, like, the second I brought up the idea of going to stop by that music store and you were game, I could hear Molly Hatchet's Flirting with Disaster just playing near you because I just knew something bad was going to happen.
I love Atomic. That's why I don't go there as often as I should.
No kidding.
Me and Johnny used to hang out there all the time. And, like, our friend Johnny, he's a professional photographer, but at one point he owned a recording studio. So me and Johnny would just hang out at Atomic, like, meeting musicians and talking them up and saying, hey, we have a recording studio. You want to come back? And we would get gigs from there and just hang out and try out different instruments. We would swap things there. We would sell things, buy things. I mean, it was great. And then we graduated. But yeah,
but anyway,
it was fun going back. I'm glad you got that experience.
Yes, I am too. So to cut through all of that, you bought yourself a bass guitar.
I got myself a bass guitar because I record music, but I don't. Of the many implements that I have around, I do not have a bass. And you can get away with doing that if you're recording because you can, you know, set up your MIDI instruments and use a keyboard and all that kind of stuff. But it never feels right, which is a weird thing to say.
No, I think you're right. Now, I think it also doesn't have the same tone and resonance as some other things. Like, you can get close, but yeah.
And I have a guitar, so I could pitch an octave lower through the MIDI and all that kind of stuff, but it doesn't feel the same. So
yeah.
I've been wanting a bass to kind of beef up the bottom end of my tracks, my hot tracks that I'm gonna drop in 2019.
Yeah, like the actual entrance song for this podcast,
yeah,
recorded by Jamie Noguchi,
yeah,
in his home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so having a base rounds out the capability. And if I ever wanted to start up a terrible band idea that I have, we have instrumentation. Although I don't have a bass amp, so that might be a little bit tricky.
We can solve that problem.
But I had this idea of like doing covers of 80 songs, but just like instead of veiling the lyrics with clever, you know, the way they do, like veiling the cleverness of the lyric, just say what it's about. Like like Hot for Teacher would be like, he's underage or something like that. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Or like,
I don't know how we're going to sing, She's Only 17 as statutory rape.
Yeah.
But
yeah. But you know, doing those type of covers where it's just singing what the song is actually about. They fucking,
yeah. Like, yeah. She's only underage. Underage.
Yeah. And the recorded version of it is like, she is under eight. And then you get the record rip.
So scratch,
like,
yeah.
The covers would only be like 2 minutes. But
okay. let's just pick a Saturday and let's do that instead.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's
This is where you talked me into getting rid of some of the furniture in my office and buying myself a drum kit is really what it comes down to.
Drums are fun.
Yeah, I know. I it's more of the realization that I live in a duplex, so my neighbor may not love it so much, but I could get electric drums.
They make there's a oh god, who's the drummer from The Roots?
Questlove.
Questlove has a drum set, like a signature drum set that's affordable. It's sold through the Guitar Center, and it's a mini kit. So it's like, it's the size that's set up for, like, he said when he would do demos for it, it's like, you know, something you can take to your dorm room and set it up and not like make too much noise. But it's great because if you're gonna be you can play out with it, you can record with it, because you know you're miking everything. The other way you could do it is the electric drum kit, which is a lot more expensive, but there are options.
Okay, all right.
Or you could just rock a drum machine. We could do that, you know.
Questlove pocket drum set.
Yeah, and his demo of it is amazing. It's phenomenal, and it's simple. It's like there's a.
I can buy the fucking thing on Amazon.
Yeah, there's a kick, there's a snare, there's a tom, and there's a hi-hat, and then I think there's a crash, but.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like there is a hi-hat. Let me see. I'm looking at it right now. A bass, two toms, a snare, a hi-hat, and a crash.
Yeah. And it's
that's super reasonable.
Yeah, it's super reasonable because his idea for this kit was to make it easily accessible for everybody, you know?
Yeah, to be able to buy.
Yeah, because he wants more people to play music. He's not interested in getting, like, a sponsorship and, you know, have his name in lights and be like, this is the Questlove drum kit that you have to, you know, saw off your arm and a leg. He wants people to fucking play the thing.
Fuck. You know, the fact that it's under $300, it's $286.
That's amazing.
That is super fucking cheap.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Questlove pocket kit 4-piece drum set in black.
Yeah.
Is currently normal price $354, which is still super reasonable.
Yeah.
It's $286 right now.
Yeah.
With free delivery.
And you should check out some of the demos that he does with it.
Yeah.
I mean, it nearly convinced me.
Man, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Anywho, yeah, that's... Fuck. That's going to be one of those things where, like... Anywho.
And all right. It's rock, so four on the floor, man. Four on the floor.
Yeah, all I'm thinking is... Cool. I'll end up playing AC/DC tunes nonstop because I'm obsessed with fucking Empire Records and that goddamn moment. Oh, God. Yep. Okay. Anyway, I need to go watch Empire Records after this.
I know a bass player.
Yeah, you. Actually, we know a different one, too. But
I know a different one.
Yeah. God damn it. I do not need to buy a fucking set of drums.
Power Trio. Power Trio. 2-minute songs. Power Trio.
Oh man. Okay. Anyway,
it's this the best is cover like, band. It's the best cover band.
This is like the worst idea too.
Best idea?
Anyway, Jamie Noguchi, what are we talking about today so we don't get lost in you trying to talk me into buying things? God damn you.
So it's been a while since we've actually had a topic to talk about. But I feel like we need to do a public service announcement for the people. And I feel terrible about this thing because normally when you entrust me to take us to a place to put food in our face.
Oh, we're going to talk about that, are we?
Look, we have to tell the people, okay? Normally when I take you to a place, it's either a place that I subscribe to, or it's a new place that I haven't tried, or it's a place that could be awesome. And 10 out of 10, it's been a good experience. I can no longer say that. I can no longer say that the places that I've taken you to have been 100% interesting or fun or, you know, expanded your horizons. Because you and I, the same day that we went to purchase this base, you and I went to Honey Pig in Rockville to try their lunch buffet.
Yes. Where do you want to start?
Well, one of our favorite places to go to is Iron Age in Rockville.
Yeah.
And in Hamden? Catonsville.
Yeah, they have another spot in Catonsville. Though I will, some people may disagree with me on this. I will go on record as saying, if you want the proper experience that Jamie and I rave about, you need to go to the one in Rockville.
Yeah.
It is smaller. The staff is more experienced. I think it's a much better experience there. The one in Catonsville is fucking gigantic. It's cavernous.
It feels like a club.
I think you're losing part of the ambiance of it. Make the trip down to Rockville.
Yeah.
Go to that. Go get bubble tea. There's a rad little shop that's like right next to it that sells like Gundam models and all sorts of like kitschy Japanese stuff, and like it's rad.
Yeah.
And go experience proper Iron Age. But you got excited about this. We had joked around about doing both of them in the same day. And after part of me half debated doing that after it, but I was so defeated.
It felt real bad, didn't it?
Experience.
Yeah.
That I didn't want to go to Iron Age afterward. Like, because I thought I was going to be piling good food on top of bad food.
Yeah.
And I should be clear here. The quality of the products that were at Honey Pig were fine.
Yeah.
None of the stuff looked bad.
No.
None of it was, like, everything was fresh and everything was very clean and everything was presented properly. The staff was totally fine.
Yeah.
I think the problem that I have is with, maybe it's with Honey Pig's model, maybe it's with their menu selection, maybe it's because I have one idea of what I want in my head and Honey Pig is not it. And I'm 99% sure that's it. Like, there are going to be a lot of people who will end up seeing this, or if I have a conversation with them, will be like, no, I love Honey Pig. And I think it's a separation for me. When I think Korean barbecue, I think beef. And I think well-done beef, almost like an Asian foga de chow, where, like, I am experiencing culture and flavor along with a very comfortable kind of environment, and I am blasted with K-pop, and I'm trying new sauces, and I'm trying new pickled this and new pickled that, and, you know, there's a salad with a dressing that I've never had before, and, like, there are all of these things that I am used to having when going in there. But, like, the first time I went in there, it was a whole new experience. It was like, okay, this is going to start up. We're going to cook the meat while this is happening. I'm chit-chatting with you, and I'm going, what is that? And you're like, I don't know, probably radish, and I'm trying this. And then, well, what's that? I don't know, probably shoots or probably onions or probably something or other.
Yeah.
And I'm trying new things and trying new flavors and new experiences. And it's like, okay, this I kind of like, this I kind of don't.
Yeah.
There are multiple sauce selections. Like, there is a bit of everything so that everyone at the table will genuinely find something, provided that you eat meat that you like.
Yeah.
Like, if you enjoy meat, you are not a vegetarian or a vegan, you will enjoy this experience.
Mm-hmm.
I think genuinely you will.
Yeah.
going to Honey Pig is a different experience.
Yeah, we didn't get, like, the term, I've come to learn that the term for all those side dishes and small dishes is banchan, which is funny, because, like, banchan is the fried chicken place.
Right.
But, like, we hardly got anything. It was, like...
The thing is, I think that's their full setup.
Yeah.
And I think that's really, like, I'm going to cut right to the chase here. I feel like Honey Pig nickel and dimes every little thing out of you. Mm-hmm. Like, and we should be clear coming out of the gate. We went there to go to their all-you-can-eat thing. By comparison, the setup that we were used to was an all-you-can-eat beef experience, including things like steak and bulgogi and other beef-related things, along with all of the pork options, chicken options, squid, yada, yada, available at Iron Age. For, I believe it's $26.
Yeah.
Per person.
Yeah.
So a not cheap meal, but if you're going to really dig in and you're going to have a lot of beef, it is a fair price for that experience. Mm-hmm. We went in during the day on Friday. It was approximately 12:30, 12:45,
yeah,
give or take.
Yeah.
Very clearly lunchtime. On the front, it says, all you can eat lunch menu, $14.95. And then it had like a little asterisk under it in a much smaller print. Some menu items not available. And then a dinner one for like $24.95. We're like, okay, yeah, they're getting competitive. Right on, here we go. So like I was expecting to pay a little extra by getting a premium one, but I was expecting $18 maybe or something like
same,
that. Going there for a lunch menu,
yeah,
yada, yada. We get in, we sit down, we're given the banchan or whatever it is. We're presented with menus. And what the menus are is a completely different menu that says Friday, Saturday, Sunday has a different all-you-can-eat price. There's an option of $24.95 or $28.95. So already I feel like I've gotten a bait and switch. I'm now in for the dinner price for what is on the gigantic printed banner that's outside. Now, I get it. I've bought a car before. I get a bait and switch. I'm not confused by it. But God damn it, when I'm going to a place that serves me beef and pork and chicken and delicious sauces, I shouldn't feel like I get a bait and switch. Like, I don't go into KFC and order the extra crispy, and they're like, so funny enough, it's an extra $6 for extra crispy. And I'm like, fuck!
There's a trust when you go to a place that serves you beef. You have that inherent trust. Like, they have killed a cow for you. They should be treating you well, and that's your expectation. They shouldn't be trying to, like, cheat you out of some money.
So right out of the gate, Jamie and I are both taken aback by the fact that there's a bait and switch on the price.
Right.
Now, however, we are both steadfast. We are going to do a side-by-side comparison. We are going to have access to the full menu. We're going to pony up. We're going to be like, yeah, let's do this thing. I'm happy to do it. Let's do the thing. So we order the premium menu. We start off with pork ribs. Pork Colby, is it?
Yeah, pork Colby, yeah.
Colby, okay. And then we also tried the beef Colby.
Yeah.
So the pork Colby was delicious, honestly.
It got a good char on it. Like that.
Yeah, it got a nice char on it. It did not have any sort of like extra flavors on it or whatever it is. They presented us with one sauce.
Yeah.
It was like kind of like a...
it was light.
Almost like a soy sauce, teriyaki-ish.
It was light brown sauce.
Yeah, it was the consistency of an oil or water. It was clearly more water based because the second any grease got on it, it floated like a slick on top.
Yeah, and it really didn't enhance it at all.
No, it had just a bit of salt flavor. Honestly, I think it would have solved the same problem as I had a salt shaker on the table.
Yeah.
So there was that. The pork was fine. The beef, I thought, was not the best. Maybe I just wasn't a fan of the cut. They served it with the bones, which
in
turn Jamie and I both chewed the crap out of and burnt the shit out of ourselves
Bones retain heat. I had no idea.
I kind of had an idea, but I was still not prepared. So had that, moved on to their honey pig steak, and then we ordered shrimp. Now, I should be clear with the shrimp. I am a dopey white kid who grew up in Maryland. And we have expectations as far as food. And I understand that I am spoiled in that sense.
Yeah.
I get it. that I'm used to having the heads taken off of my shrimp. I'm used to having them steamed with a bit of possibly potatoes, most likely onions, and a fair bit of Old Bay. And in turn, it ends up creating a flavor palette that I've become used to. And if you're not necessarily prepared for shrimp, now you should take into account, shrimp for the most part are flavorless.
Yes.
That's why they take so well to a scampi or a coconut batter or battered or butter or whatever it is. So like they can very easily take the flavor profile of something. They're very similar to tofu in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like they can be whatever they're into, which is why they work really well with a stir fry or what have you.
The tofu of the ocean.
Right, yes. What I was not prepared for were head-on medium-sized shrimp.
Yeah.
That cooked okay, were completely flavorless, and exploded their heads all over absolutely everything. Including, and I understand it was an accident, but I'd be remiss if I didn't mention it, Jamie chit-chatting with me, cracking the head off of one, and a volcano of brain from shrimp rising into the sky and then landing themselves right on my leg. So, complete with the realization later on as we went to go shop for decorations for the Art Fight show, the Holiday Hootenanny, that I walked around in AC Moore with a porous and sticky surface, so therefore I ended up having glitter spattered shrimp brain on my pants after the fact. It was like a stripper fed seafood medley, which mm-hmm. you know is its own special kind of hell. Anyway, the steak was kind of mediocre.
Yeah, the steak, we ordered the marinated steak, and it had no flavor to it.
No. It just it wasn't marinated.
And the only other sauce we got was this hot sauce that this kid stopped by our table, and he looked at us and was like, y'all want some hot sauce?
Right, yeah. Yes. I think he was kind of doing the math of like, yeah. And what I could describe it as is almost similar to like a chili oil,
mm-hmm. But super mild.
Similar consistency, super mild, but like clearly they had cracked some dried red pepper flakes into the thing or something like that because it had some bits floating around in it. But honestly, really disappointing.
It was not. They were that heat. Yeah. It had no heat.
Now, bear in mind, Jamie and I went into this thing with the best of intentions, and usually when we go to an all-you-can-eat place, we shut that mother down.
Mm-hmm.
We both decided to leave after that.
Yeah, it was like two plates.
Yeah, we had technically four different things, but it was such a mediocre experience. Complete with other things like, they nickel and dime you for everything. The sodas all come in cans. There's a big sign. Not in the front, not on the menu, not anywhere, but like written on the wall that if you order something and don't finish it, you may be subject to a $10 food waste charge. And while I understand that that's kind of a thing, I think it may send the wrong message to people. And
it's antagonistic.
It felt like more of this bait and switch kind of idea. And I think for me, Honey Pig is the sort of thing that I need to go and try, like, their bacon sampler or whatever it is, where, like, I get the different cuts of pork or whatever, and, like, I can feel more comfortable eating whatever it is because I can kind of determine that sort of thing. Yeah. I don't think it is the same thing as an Iron Age. Yeah. So I would say, you know, if you said, hey, Brandon, would you go back to Honey Pig? I'd say, yeah, but I get to order what I want. And I think genuinely I'd end up spending more there than I would at Iron Age and still not having as good of an experience. Yeah. And would I do the all-you-can-eat? No. Absolutely not.
No. And I think because of the price structure at the Honey Pig, like if we ordered off the regular menu, the price would start at like 25 bucks for a tray between the two of us.
Right.
So like I think the more people you bring into a Honey Pig situation, the better it is because you can spread that price a little bit around, but then you get less food because you order fewer trays.
Right.
So it's like, I don't know.
And then I end up having to buy drinks per can and then I get charged for that. And like,
yeah.
And I'm not talking about beers. I'm fine with paying for beers. I understand alcohol is a premium thing, but like,
it's Coke.
Get a fountain machine.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, just stop it with that. Get a fountain machine.
Yeah.
Stop nickel and diming me. If I'm paying $28 for a meal, I shouldn't have to pay $3 for a Coke.
Yeah.
Like, I hate to say it that way. I shouldn't.
Yeah, and I think if we had the same part, like the same size party as the guys next to us, I think it might have been a better experience, maybe.
But I think, honestly, had we had a party that big, and especially people who had never had Korean barbecue before, we would have taken them in Iron Age, and we wouldn't have wasted our time experimenting with that.
That's true.
And that, I think, is the most telling sign of a sort of thing. I would not willingly – like, I have been trying to talk my mother-in-law into going to Korean barbecue for quite some time. I would not take her to Honey Pig.
No.
Any Honey Pig. I would purposely make it a point to go pick her up where she lives in South Baltimore and drive her all the way down to Rockville with the description of, trust me, it is worth the drive for the experience. It's similar to the Dan Dan noodles when I took them up there and,
yeah,
you know, I got a bunch of Trump voters to enjoy Dan Dan noodles. I think, you know, having that proper experience and having it from people who actually know what they're doing are really important.
Yeah.
I almost wonder that, like, if Honey Pig has gotten to the point where it's corporate enough that it has – like, I noticed there was a lady who seems to be their spokesperson. There seemed to have been a lot of, like, corporate branding. I have no idea how big Honey Pig actually is as, like, a corporate entity or if they're owned by something else.
I think they're a nationwide chain. Well, we have the internet; we could look it up. But I think
I'm doing that right now. Keep going.
I think there are more Honey Pigs than there are Iron Ages, and I think the all you can eat thing is a new feature to their menu because, we've been to Honey Pig before up in the Baltimore Catonsville area, and there wasn't an all you can eat option. It was just, you know, you order a bunch of trays and then split it amongst your friends and stuff like that. So I think I think the only reason why they did all you can eat is because Honey Pig is killing it, or because Iron Age is killing it.
Right. So there's four locations it looks like so far. There's Annandale, Virginia, Centerville, Virginia, Ellicott City, Maryland, and Rockville, Maryland. Now Ellicott City is the one that I had been to previously. Ellicott City,
yeah.
And then Rockville is the one you and I went to. So it looks like just the four locations.
Okay.
Man, they had a lot of corporate branding. I'm going to double check Iron Age while you vamp here.
Yeah. But I'd heard of Honey Pig. I think Honey Pig has been around before Iron Age because I've heard of it from other people.
I know that is true. At least to my knowledge, that is true. It looks like I believe there are three Iron Age locations. Man, that needs to be the place where we start to fight. So there's apparently an Iron Age in... Oh! Iron Age is breaking out. They got five locations, son. Rockville, Baltimore, I think the Catonsville one, Kennesaw, Georgia, Duluth, Georgia, and Centerville, Virginia.
Wow.
They break it into the South.
Wow.
Jamie Newton. Okay, so here are two things that I'm curious about right now. How white are the ones in Georgia?
Yes.
Or are there secret hidden Asian communities in Kennesaw and Duluth, Georgia that we don't know about? That there may be a Southern trip that needs to be taken to experience. Fuck! Could we end up getting that weird mix of like Cajun and Vietnamese?
That's possible. Viet Cajun? Yeah.
I wonder if it travels that far north. Shit.
I thought
we had to go to Houston for that sort of thing. Man, now you got me curious.
Because I know there's a large Korean community in Virginia. And I know there's a large Vietnamese community in Virginia. So like Eden Center, that's near where Audrey's parents live, is a huge, it's like little Vietnam. It has a whole bunch of great places to eat and all this kind of stuff. And I know further down, there's like a little Korea town type area, which is where the block is and where that I think that Iron Age is near all of that stuff down there. So there might be like a hidden area.
I think that's actually what we need to start filming. I think we need to go find hidden Asian communities. It can be like, here's the thing. It can be like one part diners, drive-ins and dives. It can be one part like opening up people to hidden gems in their community. Like if you don't know that you can get proper pho or bulgogi or whatever the thing is. Like, if we can get people to move away from General's Chicken and move into something else, even if it's just every so often.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's like, there has to be other hidden Asian communities.
Oh, yeah.
About the country where we can just, like, head to, you know, we come to find out, you know, Butte, Montana has a like hidden area there where, like, there was like a small community that came over with, I don't know, like, it could be super old school, like the railroads or something like that, and people just decided to set up roots and just stick around
because
they like the big open country. And come to find out, there have been people there that are like passing down recipes of like Sichuan food forever.
Ooh.
And like we end up experiencing like legit, you know, ridiculous Sichuan food in the middle of like Big Sky country.
That would be awesome.
There's got to be these hidden gems all over the place. Like, I have to believe that.
I think so. And I don't see Iron Age just plopping up at, like, a strip mall that has a Denny's or something like that. I feel like
that's – right. Because, like, that's the thing is, I think if they thought that they could end up moving volume like that in that sort of place, they'd set up shop in White Marsh.
Yeah. Yeah.
They totally would. They'd be on the avenue at White Marsh – serving beef to a ton of white people, and they don't like. I think one part is they worry that they wouldn't be able to win over the audience there, and I would be worried about things like the food waste or whatever it is. Like, I think that has to be something that is experienced centralized around the culture, because you need to have people constantly frequent it.
Yeah,
like that. That's start always
pulling in other people. Be like, everyone's going here. Let's try it.
Well, that's the most uncomfortable but honest thing that I've experienced, which is anytime that you take me to a place and I look around and you're like, yeah, this place is legit, you know, Sichuan style Chinese food. It is legit Korean food. It is legit that is, and I'm seeing people who are Asian predominantly sitting around the table. Like, we go to Sichuan Jim River and I look around and I'm the only white dude here, and everyone's staring at me like, who the fuck let that guy in? I know I'm experiencing a legit thing.
Yeah.
Like, I think I kind of need that. So if you set it up in White Marsh, the first thought in my head is going to be, oh, they're going to wipe the shit out of this. And I'm going to be super disappointed because it's not going to be the same experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll just be like nine kinds of bulgogi. And next thing you know, it'll be like Philly cheesesteak bulgogi. And they'll have one. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
We'll fucking ruin it because we always ruin it.
Like, there's a sushi buffet that I go to sometimes because it's just awful. But sometimes you just need to fill your face with stuff. And they had this thing called a Philadelphia roll.
Oh, yes.
And it's like smoked salmon and cream cheese in rice and stuff. And I'm just like, this is vile.
Yes.
This is vile. I love lox and bagels. It does not go well with seaweed and rice. It's just...
I don't understand. Please keep all forms of cheese away from my sushi.
Yeah.
Like, just as a general rule. Because I don't view lox as sushi.
No.
I genuinely don't. Yeah. Well, this thing is, like, I think if you were like, oh, this is a roll that has this and this and then smoked salmon in it, I'd be like, oh, okay. And, like, the idea of it being prepared accordingly and then having smoked salmon's like, okay, cool, like slightly Jewish-ish style sushi. You know, I could see like two cultures kind of influencing each other, or just an availability of smoked meats. Like, okay, cool, I'm down with the idea. But yeah, no, keep that shit away. No, just no.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
So anyway, so kids, I'll probably catch heat from this, I'm sure, if Olivia Oblivia, and Aaron Lowy sees this. I know her and Adam absolutely love Honey Pig.
That's fine.
I'm going to go on record as saying I think it's kind of subpar. I think it's overpriced. And when it used to be 24 hours, I don't even think it's 24 hours anymore.
Aww.
I get the idea of, like, it's 3 a.m. and I want bacon. Like, cool. But at the same time, like, I think I could really solve this problem with an overpriced trip to a 7-Eleven for a pack of bacon inside the back and – and a pan. I could make bacon grilled cheeses and pass out drunk. Like, that's a super easy solve for me.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, yeah, I think Honey Pig is not our jam.
No. No. So, sorry, kids. Sorry. But on the plus side, we had to suffer and pay so that you didn't have to.
Yeah, yeah. We have warned the people.
Yes.
Because much like Wu-Tang, fucking Dude Cast is for the children.
We are for the children, yes. Yes. All of the children who would go eat Korean pork, trust me. Your friendly, trustworthy face, because when has a fat, bearded white guy ever steered you wrong about Asian culture?
That's very true.
See? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's no way that I could mislead anyone. None. Look at this face, okay? Yeah, yeah. That's the face that started a revolution, literally, and it stole a country. That's...
Brandon Chalmers, where can people find you when they want to talk shit about your hatred of Honey Pig?
You know what? Then in that case, you can find me at Brandon Chalmers on Twitter, where I won't read it. if you'd like to say something kind, you can feel free to, I don't know, Instagram message me. I'm at that guy Chalmers. I don't really bother with a ton of social media anymore. I post photos, so you can see kind of what I'm up to, but... I kind of got out of the social media game, man. Like,
yeah.
I know it's probably a terrible thing to say as we're on the internet doing things, but like when we're making things or whatever, it is cool. But like, I think people are more interested in seeing what you're up to rather than hearing you complain about shit on the internet.
True.
As we spent an hour complaining about shit on the internet. But this is podcast for.
As we podcasted half hour on shitting on Honey Pig.
Well, I really hope that, Jamie, you end up titling this one the fucking Donut Cast Honey Pig edition, because yeah.
Sometimes you don't.
Yeah, yeah. Where can they find you, sir?
Well, obviously here. If you're listening on YouTube, this is my channel. If you're listening to us on Libsyn, you can reach us there. I need to reset the password on our email address because I lost it.
So feel free to email us. So we'll get back to you sometime relatively soon.
info@fuckingdoitcast.com. It will be in the inbox. Whether or not I can access it is another question.
Now, if you have an idea for a thing that you want us to fucking do, look into, try and come up with, just vamp about, completely rip apart for some particular reason, shoot us an email. And we will absolutely do that because we're running out of ideas. So,
or most likely hit me up on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, because I still use the socials mostly to advertise my art. So
yeah, that makes sense. But that means we do pay attention to these things. Yeah. So
I don't know about next week because I have family in town, and I think it's Christmas. Is Christmas?
Christmas is Tuesday. Yes.
Yeah. So I don't think we'll have time. Yeah.
Maybe we'll do it, I don't know, at some point next week.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll try and get one in the can at some point next week. Maybe we'll figure something out maybe this weekend or something like that. We'll work it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
All right, bye.
Bye, kids. If I don't see you, have yourselves a wonderful holiday.
Don't buffet at Honey Pig.